Living creatures are animated by breath, by spirit, by something we cannot ever really understand. And then it is gone. It happens to every living thing. The breath no longer rises and falls in the chest. The face no longer smiles. The skin, once warm, is cold. Death has come. The body is there, but the spirit that made the person is gone.
Some say there are three deaths. One, when a person's breath stops. The second, when they're buried. And the third, when their name is spoken for the last time. All over the world for centuries, the living have held their beloved dead in the present, in their hearts and souls, keeping them from this last and final death.
The rituals and ceremonies that cross cultures and time nearly always speak truth. Our beloved dead do live with us. We feel them. We cannot push them away. Some feel their spirits humming around the edges of their lives. Others find them in memories and in the way we conduct our lives. Often they exist in the very cells in our bodies. They are here always with us.
Today, in this late time of the year, as the shadows and darkness deepen, as the plants die, we follow the traditions of the Northern Europeans. We remember our dead.
We share these words by the Reverend Mark Bellatini. Some of us remember with pleasure aunts, uncles, fathers, mothers, friends and lovers, cousins and neighbors, other times and other places, cities and farms, homesteads and rooms, yellow sunsets, chilly sunrises.
Some of us find it hard to remember, for the memories that clamor inside us are jagged like glass we ourselves did not break.
Some of us remember people we have never met, but through history, recent events, book and poem and film and painting have met us and entered the secret chambers of our heart.
Some of us remember children and cannot be comforted. Some of us remember and are set free in our thanksgiving. Some of us remember and are tight with guilt or shame. Some of us struggle daily to remember with greater charity.
Some of us weep easily and often. Others weep rarely, but grieve all the same. Some of us are stoic and say these things happen. Some of us rail against the unfairness of it all and clench teeth and fists with discontent.
Some of us bear the burden of those who took their own lives or who suffered greatly at the end. Others among us remember only vast meadows of love and charity in which we played with joy.
But all of us remember, whether we speak or are silent, whether we deny or affirm, whether we love or find it hard to love. May the power of love embrace us all, as the curtains between then and now are drawn open for a moment, and the fullness of life impresses itself on us, each in our own way.
Let us have silence and take time to remember them.
Whose am I? Our answer can be small. I belong to myself. I belong to my partner or my children or my parents or my siblings or to my pet. Or it can grow. I belong to my extended family. I belong to my friends. I belong to my book group. I belong to my congregation. Or maybe it grows even more. I belong to my neighborhood. I belong to my city. I belong to my country. I belong to the earth. I belong to the holy. Where have I built myself a home? Our culture tends to steer us towards small belonging. We belong to ourselves or those we live with. People hide away inside their houses and make decisions that affect the well-being of themselves and their immediate family. The result? we have a loneliness epidemic in our country. 40 to 50% of people describe themselves as lonely. I love Halloween because it breaks the cultural belonging rules. On Halloween, the children belong to everyone. People buy candy and open their doors to everyone who knocks. Children, we're just about to have our parade. Just if that changes anybody's minds. So at Halloween, children are encouraged, we give candy to anyone who knocks. And children are encouraged to knock on perfect strangers' doors and ask for candy. For one night, whole neighborhoods become home. What if every day was like Halloween? What if we could knock on strangers' doors and ask for company or help? What if they could knock on ours? All around, people would be looking out for us, and we would be looking out for them. All the places we went would be places where we built ourselves a home. And this is the power, I believe, of faith communities. We strive to build ourselves a home in our congregation, in our communities, with the earth, and with the holy. It is our great calling to build homes of love wherever we go. So let us honor the tradition of Halloween by having everyone who dressed up in a costume walk through the congregation so we can admire your creativity and make a home for you. The great question of belonging is, whose am I? We belong not just to our communities, but to the people who came before us and the people who will come after us. We belong to our ancestors. We will become other people's ancestors. I am from Northern European peasants. I am from people who immigrated to the United States and were declared white. My great-great-grandfather homesteaded on Green Bluff, agriculturally rich land just north of Spokane, where fruit farms abound. It is the Spokane equivalent of Savi Island. The land was taken from Native people by the U.S. government and given to my family. My family worked hard on that land. Fruit is labor intensive. When my grandmother was 7, she would spend weeks of June picking strawberries. As she got older, she climbed ladders and picked peaches and plums and pears and apples. Sometimes life was extremely hard and there wasn't enough food. During the Great Depression, my grandmother remembers eating grass. On the other side of my family, both my great-grandfathers, immigrants from Norway and England, worked the coal mines in Butte, Montana. Their children, my grandparents, fled the confining coal town with 3 daughters under the age of 7 and headed west with no plan. They ended up buying a trailer park in Spokane, Washington. That was hard work, too. One of my favorite stories from the park is about a black family who lived there. One day, another renter came to my grandfather and said his family was not comfortable having a black family in the trailer park, and neither were some of the other families. And my grandfather said, "That's too bad. We'll be sorry to see you go." I love this story. It makes me so proud to be my grandfather's granddaughter. Our ancestors are part of who we are. Their breath animates us. We are the stories we know about them, and we are also the stories we don't know about them. We are the stories they breathed in and passed down without even knowing they did so. My ancestors breathed into me perseverance and the ability to work hard. They were resilient and smart. My great-great-grandfather was a state legislator. My grandparents fought racism in the way they knew how. They also had some real advantages. They were white. They did not deal with prejudice and racism. They homesteaded stolen land. They bought a trailer park people of color would not have been allowed to buy, which added wealth to my family. I carry all of this with me. I carry their stories with me.
A few years ago, I called my parents' landline. Now, for those of you in the audience who might not know what that is, it's like a cell phone that can't ever leave your house. I heard my grandmother's voice on the other end of the line. Well, you could have knocked me over with a feather. I immediately had called both my siblings. They heard it too. It would have been less strange if she hadn't have died a few years before this happened. You see, my maternal grandmother was a force to be reckoned with. And even when she wasn't with us anymore, she made her presence known. She was a powerful woman in a time when women were not supposed to be powerful. Born in the 20s, she was constantly confounding expectations. In college, when she expressed an interest in majoring in geology at Iowa State, she was directed to the home ec department. She graduated college and went on to the jobs that were available to women in Clarinda, Iowa in those days, making a home and being a teacher. So she did what she could and became a science teacher. She always gave us geology-themed gifts. Although the time she gave my 14-year-old brother a real ice pick with an axe on one side of the handle, it was probably taking it a little too far. She spent her career as an educator teaching science and helping future generations learn how to appreciate the natural world. Even when the world told her no, she figured out how to find her place of belonging. For the early years of their marriage, she was an army wife, moving around the country with her husband's career. While living in Kansas, she was introduced to Unitarian Universalism. Really just Unitarianism at that point, and became deeply involved for the rest of her life. My grandmother believed in our abilities to learn and to grow and to evolve as people. She understood at her core that we all have inherent worth and dignity. She found her home in Unitarian Universalism. Against the odds for a little girl from rural Iowa, she fought to find her place in this world. She found where she belonged with the people of our shared faith.
We really want you to be thinking about your ancestors and the stories that they've told and brought to you. Unfortunately, we don't have time in this service for that to happen. But we would like you to think about that for the rest of the day, share that with other people during coffee hour, share it with the people who you live with and your friends, and think about what your ancestors taught you or the stories you carry forward with them. Remember us, you who are living. Restore us. Renew us. Speak for our silence. Continue our work. Bless the breath of life. Sing of the hidden patterns, weave the web of peace.